I'm so glad you said that, because as you were talking about that, I thought, you know what?
Why do
this
we?
This is a great beer to have in the morning.
Yeah,
this is
waffle,
Belgian waffles with syrup and salty, meaty bacon on the side.
Pints and Pairings is brought to you in part by We're Driving and The Beer Cave. Learn more about our sponsors at hopedshead.com/pintsandpairings.
Generally, we come back with food in our mouth, but we finished our food back there. Yeah.
We were very polite tonight. We were courteous and considerate to our audience members. We want them to be able to understand what we're saying. Although 2 minutes ago, my mouth was full of key lime Italian pudding, or budino, as we were instructed.
I thought the pudding was going to come out your nose.
I was laughing so hard. It's delicious, though.
It reminded me of the scene in Nacho Libre when he's dishing out all of the beans that he just made, and it's the worst stuff that he's ever had. And God, this, and all the friars or the fathers or the priests, whatever, whoever's sitting up front, this is the worst that we've ever had. And then he takes a taste of it and immediately spits it through his nose.
So disgusting and so funny all at the same time.
You know, I'm glad I vented back there a little bit ago.
You did vent.
Because I feel loose.
You look relaxed now.
But you know what? I don't have time for bad beer, and I don't have time for hyped up bad beer.
And
either.
That's as far as we'll leave that discussion for our audience members. But just know that behind the scenes, off air, there was a discussion surrounding bad beer, and Curtis let his perspective be known.
Yeah, and you know, on Hophead Said, early on, I vented about American lagers and blah, 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 blah. And I don't have time to... I don't have the energy to devote to bad beer. And you know, there's breweries all over that I just keep trying and trying and trying their beers.
You want to like them.
And
you
I
know,
do.
To your point, though, about venting about bad beer and not having time for it, I think that's really one of the key values of Pints and Pairings, which is what you're listening to right now, the Pints and Pairings show with Curtis Taylor and Jason Hendrick.
The is meltdown
that,
show.
Yeah, the meltdown. Is that we talk about the stuff we love and beers we enjoy and breweries we enjoy. There's no reason to talk about the negative or places we don't enjoy, because they're going to take care of themselves. If other people like them, so be it. We don't need to be critics in the sense of talking badly about those beers and breweries. Let them do their thing. We have plenty of other options, and we definitely showcase what we love.
Well, and that's not the mission statement, if there ever was one for Pints and Pairings. It's just talking about the flavors that are in the beer and trying to find something that would go with it. And if we picked any number of those beers that I was just ranting about back there, if we were doing a show with it, I would be polite.
And we'd probably find something about the beer that's enjoyable, but overall we may not endorse it.
Right.
And to that point, even with the Bud Malures Challenge, if you go back early on in our archives, we actually were complimentary to the Bud Malures showcases a couple of times in terms of what you could smell and what you could taste that we weren't expecting. Would we drink those beers overall? Probably not. Would we suggest them? No. But we were still respective of what they were showing in the glass.
We gave food pairing...
We did.
Suggestions to them, and they were not bad food pairing suggestions either. So anyways, here we are. Melting down. We've had dessert.
We've had a long night. We thought this was going to go a little quicker, but we were on a roll. We were like jamming through food pairing and non-food pairing after pairing.
It was, yeah. It was the epitome of what the last year has been. At any given point.
It's just an evolution and a snowball rolling downhill.
You never know what where we're going to roll to with the show, I guess. And not to get gushy at the end of this evening, but man, it's been a great ride.
It has been a great ride, and you surprised me yet again tonight, Curtis, as every time we get together and talk about beer and food or beer and pairings, your movie pairing with the closely watched trains threw me for a loop initially, and now I want to go pull it up and watch the damn thing. I was not expecting you to go almost indie art or indie film kind of direction on me.
1966. That's 66, 63, somewhere in there. That's when that film was made. And, you know, old style. What's really great about that, what it says, though, is more about me in that when I start researching beers for whatever...
When you actually research before the show?
Well, whenever I'm researching whatever it is, you know, and it's in beer, you can't separate beer from society. You can't. You
Not
can
at
go
this
back.
Point.
You can go 6,000 years BC, so 8,000 years ago, you can go back and find beer. And it's ruled our world ever since. And so you can't separate beer from culture. You can't separate beer from society. You can't separate from history. And so when you're researching beer on any level, it just opens. And I'm a history kind of social science sort of guy. And a science guy, too. I mean, chemistry, biology, all that. It's all there. And so it's so easy to learn about something you never, ever knew before. And the closely watched trains comes out. Here's a pop culture film from
the mid-60s.
A foreign pop culture
film.
Yeah,
you said it had subtitles, right?
Yeah, subtitles. I mean, it's in Czech. So it's whatever Czech...
You keep it in Czech.
Right.
Well, so, it's amazing, so it's though, too. Like you said, it's ingrained in society. When we talk about beer, it's just so prevalent, especially nowadays with the massive craft beer movement. And I don't even want to say trend, because I think on some level, craft beer is... just really digging a foothold into the market, and people are loving creativity and the passion that brewers are bringing. But our buddy Zach up in Santa Barbara, you know, he always is looking at beer and how it pairs with things that aren't food, beer and music, beer and art, beer and film. It's really cool to see how the vibe or the feeling you get from a glass of beer can relate to other things around you, not just food.
Absolutely, and
we got to get that dude on here, though. We got to, like, hey, Zach, your pints and pairings, your ass all over the place. Why don't you come hang out on our show?
Come on down. Yeah, I don't even know where to go with it, just because it's beer and it's...
You're getting a little fuzzy. You're getting a little glossy eyed.
It's such a beautiful part of my life that I just don't know. I mean, I have my family, and then I have beer. I mean,
that's sometimes, depending on how they're behaving, they switch orders and priority.
Right. Sometimes my family drives me to beer. I don't know what it is, but either way, you know, they're intertwined.
Can we bust a move on this dessert pairing that we had tonight? So just to recap, our one-year anniversary celebration show, it's going to be in multiple segments, multiple podcasts, if you will. So if you haven't heard them, either go backward in time, look at the archives and watch them, or wait some time if you haven't heard what I'm about to talk about and look for it. But we talked about the Trumer Pils. We did a Pilsner style, a real crisp, classic beer category. We did the Uinta Baltic Porter. Again, trying to showcase, you know, that roasty, chocolatey note of a classic porter style. We did the North Coast Prankster Belgian Golden Strong Ale, as you like to reinforce, strong ale.
They don't call it that on the label.
They don't, but
it is
definitely strong. And then we finished up with Firestone's Double Jack, a great double IPA that is close and endearing to your heart. But the desserts that we did not really go in depth on blew me away as we sat at that table and tried them side by side.
The biggest surprise out of that, I think, was the dessert pairing, the Trumer Pils pairing. And it's, you know, it was a shortbread cookie, which goes with just about any beer. I mean, you talk about this light, buttery crust. You've got the malt flavors in the cookie itself, you know, this subtle sweetness. But then you've got a little bit of lemon curd on top of it, which really just kind of pulls...
There was just enough tart and citric acid in there.
Makes that dessert what it is. But what was really interesting is taking the bite and then going to the Pilsner, how that Pilsner just kind of exploded that lemon curd.
It definitely opened up.
Or the lemon curd brought out the lemon in the Pilsner, whichever way it went. But all of a sudden, there was a lemon flavor that is not there in the Pilsner.
Well, we saw something very similar when it came to the Belgian with North Coast Prankster. When we were talking through before the show and really trying to identify what dessert would go well with these beers and what flavors we were getting out of the glass, there was something about the Belgian Golden that I felt needed some citric acid. It needed acid in general, and it needed some salt maybe. And we started talking about margaritas, and, you know, it seemed really wonky, like margarita sorbet. What do we do, margarita? Chef Anastasia Chavez came out with this key lime Italian pudding, or a key lime budino. it was really, it was kind of subdued, actually, when it came to the key lime aspect by itself. She had some whipped cream on top, and it's a real light and fluffy texture, and just a little hint of key lime in the bite by itself. But as soon as you took a drink of that Prankster, it was like the key lime just exploded in the glass. There was all sorts of sour, tart, beautiful fruit that came out of that beer.
It did, it did a wonderful job, and that's what you're looking for when these in a really good beer pairing.
Give her a little golf clap. I mean, because it was really done well.
Absolutely, when you mix the two together, something happens that wasn't there before. You know, and that's when you have a magical sort of beer pairing.
That's kind of like a metaphor for us in the show, Curtis.
What's that?
Is that something magical came out after you put the two together? It wasn't the same on their own by themselves until you brought them together on the same plate and table.
Oh, boy. Hey, you got peanut butter in my chocolate? You got chocolate in my peanut butter kind of thing?
Now we're getting a little crazy.
All right. The other one, which is just kind of straight out resonating kind of textbook flavoring.
I was dumbfounded by how obvious and delicious this pairing was.
It was, the Baltic Porter and the s'mores was just crazy.
Yeah, and just so people at home know, we'll put a picture up to go with the podcast on hopheadsaid.com/pints and pairings. But it wasn't just a s'more. It was a s'mores candy bar. She came up with this great chocolatey kind of base. There was some graham cracker in there. There's the toasted marshmallow. And she capped it with this thick, crusty, like almost Milky Way Snickers kind of top in terms of thickness and texture and hardness. I mean, we had to shove the spoon through the chocolate to break it into little pieces. It was a candy bar in its own iteration. Mm-hmm. But it, like you said, it just resonated so well with the Baltic Porter.
Right. And then the last one, the double IPA, as we're working our way through this from left to right on your screen, or right to left in front of you, however you're looking at it, the double IPA and the cheesecake. Now, the cherry cheesecake. I like all of those to get the cherry and the cheesecake together. For me, though, it was more of the cheesecake and the double IPA. I mean, those were the two that were golden for me. That's where it was at, and you were certainly integral in the whole cherry pepper topping thing. So I'm going to let you go on to that one just to kind of explain what was happening there. But this is when I was go back to the double IPA show, we were talking about subtle sweetness and everything else. The cream cheese cheesecake texture. The IPA really helps to break that down, and the resonating hop flavors really kind of balance the cheesecake.
I think if you had taken the cherry pepper preserves and cherry aspect out of it, it still would have been a great pairing. But what we were really identifying with, and what I was catching during the sample, the R&D, if you will, was that spicy hop kind of herb pepperiness that you get from the double IPA. Obviously, it has a strong malty backbone and it wants to hold up with the residual sweetness, but I felt like the hops needed a little boost, and I kept hanging on black pepper and pepper notes. And thankfully, she agreed, but I liked her execution because it was a little more delicate in the pepper integration. It was really kind of folded in nicely with the cherry so that it wasn't just this black pepper, almost Cajun blackening kind of reflection. And it worked well, so you got just enough of a little lift on the hops from the pepper that was in the cherry preserves and jam, but not so much that you felt like it was going into a savory realm.
Right. Yeah, it's, when you look at the way that we've talked about pairings from the very first time that we got together all the way till now, we come from these different points of view on these pairings, I guess. And we've diverged on several of them, but the point to take away from it is that you've got to try the pairings, and you've got to be open to suggestions as well. And so, if you're a cherry fan, this is what you need to try. I prefer my cherries in bourbon. In a rye whiskey.
I like the bourbon idea, though, too.
in a rye whiskey called a Manhattan. That's generally how I take my cherry. depending on what your personal preference is. But even on that one, I mean, I appreciated the pepper cherry flavorness. But it was the cheesecake portion of that really stood out to me.
Cool. Well, at the end of the day, they're all delicious, and we had some good fun. We want to give a shout-out to all our audience members tonight who came out and supported the show and everyone who's been supporting the show for the past year. Whether you're listening on podcasts or you've been listening live or in person at one of our venues, we really want to say thank you for helping us make it through that 12-month period. You can always follow the conversation at hashtag Pints and Pairings and hashtag Beer Suggestioneers. We'd love a like or follow at facebook.com/whoosh. Pints and Pairings as well.
You know, our years are kind of the reverse of dog years, I think. I mean, our year was, what, 14 and 15 months?
Yeah, we're a little late on the one-year party, but that's because we have some other cool stuff in the works that we've been talking about, including a really fun trip that's going to happen in late August down to San Diego with our sister show, Happy Hour with Joby and Curtis, featuring some really cool breweries in the San Diego area, as well as confirmation today, a tour and show at White Labs down in Miramar.
That's going to be...
I let the cat out of the bag on that one.
That one's going to be a great show, certainly. And just a great tour to go and hang out there. Because, they're going to have beer. They're going to have all kinds of samples there as well. So
done.
You can't go wrong. On the plus side of waiting 14 or 15 months to do an anniversary show is that we only have to wait 9 months to do the next one.
I like your thought process. It's cool. I like it.
Let's call it quits right there.
Let's do it. Let's go get another beer.
Yes, because I've got a fifth one coming somewhere.
Yes, you do. And you also have Weird Driving showing up to get you home safely tonight. So if you need a designated driving service in Ventura County, go to weirddriving.com.
Absolutely. And as always, I want to remind you to eat, drink, and be happy.
We'll see you the next pour.
Cheers.
Pints and Pairings is brought to you in part by The Beer Cave, located at 231 Village Commons Boulevard in Camarillo, California.
If you prefer a cocktail or some vino, this neighborhood market also has a great selection of premium spirits and wine, along with an attached deli for a quick sandwich to go.
When you stop in, be sure to mention that you heard about them right here on the Pints and Pairings Show, and maybe grab a sandwich for me on your way out.